Celtics outscored the Warriors 121-110, and the Magic crushed the Kings 131-94, handing Sacramento their 15th straight loss.
Now today's the first day of the rest of your life. What you've been waiting for? Let's try to get a little quicker, a little better every play. Everybody concentrate a little better every play. Last period will be better than the first period. All right, let's take some quickness right quick.
The epicenter of college football. This is The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coach will finish you up with Ryan Fowler of The Game.
Tuscaloosa's longest running sports show, powered by Tuscaloosa Toyota. Broadcasting live on Tide 100.9.
We got to keep getting better every single snap we take, whether it be in practice or whether it be in the course of a game.
And 1230 WTBC and streaming worldwide on the free Tide app. Now, let's talk Alabama football.
Looking, firing again. It's off the hands and picked off by Bama. Bray Hubbard, 30, 35, cuts it back, 40. Bray still on his feet and finally brought down. Shy of midfield.
Here's your host and voice of the fan, Ryan Fowler.
Appreciate your interest in the game.
We do appreciate your interest in the game. Thank you, Coach Saban. Thank you. We do appreciate your interest in the game. As Wyatt said, going into the show, we're going to be a little bit abbreviated today. Alabama baseball, I believe we have one more of these. I don't think it's next week. I think it's a couple of weeks down the road. We have to deal with some of these early starts. Now, weather could always move that back. Sometimes they try to avoid the rain, move it up a little bit, or try to move it to a doubleheader to try to get some in. But unfortunately, hey, we're going to get off about 3:45, so that means I get an early start to the weekend. So I got to come out swinging pretty hot right here on a free-for-all Friday, sponsored by Brian Harden Construction. We'll have one guest today. It'll be Brent Beard, and then we'll get you over to Alabama baseball taking on Rhode Island. They need you. They need you because, you know, Mike Rodak was with us yesterday talking about Alabama baseball, talking about Alabama women's basketball, and he's got the big article on Bama 247 Sports. Alabama women's basketball and Alabama baseball lost more money than any other sport on the campus of the University of Alabama. That's according to Mike Rodak that we featured yesterday. So get on over to the Joe and help them clean up some of that discrepancies. Buy popcorn. Buy hot dog. Well, now hold on. I've seen some of those photos, those hot dogs. I'm not sure you want to do that. They're pretty expensive, right? They're like, what are they, $12, $13? $14 for a, I mean, they're Denny dogs, but they serve them at the Joe. So buy a hot dog, buy popcorn, snow cone, buy some merchandise. Buy some merchandise. That'll help them. That'll help big time. So Rhode Island coming to town. Alabama basketball, we'll talk a little bit about that. Alabama in a big momentum swing. It feels like the power that Nados was able to survive that 177. You know, it's kind of reminds you a little bit. Sometimes you're going to get kicked to the mat, right? I mean, you get punched in the mouth. And sometimes it identifies who you are or who you want to be or who you need to be. You know, Alabama got punched in the mouth about a month and a half ago against Indiana. And we'll find out this spring, did Alabama, can they recover? Now, they'll be playing nobody. It'll be a day, right? April the 11th, Crimson against White. So hopefully it's a good scrimmage, but you don't get a really chance until Eastern Carolina. You're 197 days away. Brought to you by Alabama Credit Union, alabamacu.com. Checking, savings, mortgage, home, equity, loan, financing, a vehicle. Alabama Credit Union reminding us to remind you we are 197 days away from Alabama, East Carolina, and we're going to do a little free-for-all Friday. We'll take phone calls. Like I said, we'll have to hit the ground running here in about 20 minutes. We'll take some phone calls. Brent Beard, Jacksonville, Florida, First Coast News, ABC, NBC News affiliate. It is our good friend, Brent Beard. Brent Beard, I hope you're doing well. Welcome into the game in Tuscaloosa.
Well, I appreciate that, my friend. It's good to be on with you. Ryan, I really want to just take a minute and just want to extend my prayers for the family of Wes Rucker, who is a media member in Tennessee. Unfortunately, had a unfortunate accident yesterday. He's got a wife. He's got one child and one child on the way, Ryan. And people may not have heard this. I'm sure you probably have by now because it was all over social media this morning. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it because I know we have other things to talk about. But my prayers are really with their family in this tragedy. And you probably knew him. I knew him, but I didn't know him well. But he is one of us. He is one of the media. And I was particularly grieved today to hear about this. And I know many other people are.
Yeah, and you look at, in the SEC especially, I mean, he'd been around for a long, long time.
Oh, yes.
And getting to follow his work and know that our colleague, Travis Ryer, somebody that you know very, very well, is one of your best buddies down in Jacksonville, Florida, was very close to Wes and had a comment. I saw just a lot of people. Chris Lowe, that was on the list of mentions, but I'm glad you mentioned. I read Jimmy Himes' little piece there talking about, those Tennessee guys. And listen, we have a respect, I guess, for Tennessee. Coach Bryant taught us that. We usually get along with those guys. But, when you look at the Tennessee media tweeting about that, and I think he had just finished up a radio show. So I guess was he in the radio side of things in Knoxville as well?
Yeah, I think he did a little bit of everything, frankly, just like we do. He was, I won't get into the details of it, but he was on, he was in his car. He was on I-40 in a traffic jam, and basically had a truck cause the accident. So, just really, I think, although I didn't know him that much, certainly respected him, and he does what you and I do every day, Ryan. And it's just hard to lose guys like that.
Yeah, and a guy that a lot of people were very well connected up in Knoxville. Like I said, he'd been in the business, I want to say, since the early 2000s.
Oh, yeah.
I remember kind of watching him. And no doubt, I mean, listen, he covered Tennessee, I'm sure, fairly. But mm-hmm. you could tell where his allegiance lied, right? I mean, you could read between the lines. I think he said that in one of the videos that somebody was talking about today. He said, hey, you'll never doubt where Wes Rucker is. And he was talking about that. So no doubt a tragedy up there. Brent, I want to dive into a couple different things here. And let's start with Alabama basketball, because in your state, they took a whipping, right? 177. And this team has responded by winning five in a row. Pretty incredible.
It really has. And they've got very winnable games in the next two games. I think it's significant where they are. The LSU games in Baton Rouge, and look, LSU is just struggling. I hear or see, and this may just be rumor, could LSU bring Will Wade back, of all people, the former coach? So that's out there a little bit. I'm not saying that's true. And then they've got a big home game with Mississippi State coming up the middle of the week, and then a big, big game against the Vols in Knoxville. They lost, obviously, in Tuscaloosa, but such a tremendous win over Arkansas on Wednesday night. The defense wasn't great by any stretch of imagination, and I still think that's their Achilles heel. The more they improve defensively, Ryan, the better they're going to have a chance to make a run in the tournament. But that Arkansas game was a humongous win for the Tide.
Yeah, and when you look at it, we were, I don't know if you had a chance to see Mike Rodak's comprehensive budget review. We featured Mike yesterday, and we talked about baseball in the opening couple of seconds. I never thought I'd see Alabama baseball be down there, down at the really? Losing one of the second most amount of money. Women's basketball lost the most. Baseball lost the second amount of most. As far as most amount of money. But, Alabama basketball, they used to be one of those teams that would lose a little bit or break even. It would be one of those standpoints. Mm-hmm. Now Nate Oates has lifted that program so much that they're making, I'm talking about a profit of about $9 million when you look at Alabama Crimson Tide basketball. That's a reflection of what Nate Oates has been able to accomplish.
There's no question about that. I mean, look, this is a very good team. I mean, do they need to play better defense? Yes, of course they do. But for what this team has done, frankly, has been amazing. And look, they got behind with Arkansas double digits, could have lost that game, fought back, was able to win it in multiple overtimes. Now, again, these next two games will be some point of a challenge. Then the Tennessee game will be a big challenge. But if they could get to a fourth seed, that would serve them incredibly well in the NCAA tournament.
Yes. And Jerry Palm thinks they could work their way into a number three seed. Brent Beard, I'm curious. You always have the dates for this. Sometimes we have some early starters as far as spring practice. Who gets out of the gates early? Because it used to be Vanderbilt used to do it pretty early. And I want to say like end of February.
Yeah, Florida starts March 3rd, which is one of the earlier ones, frankly. But you're right. I bet you remember this. Do you remember when Mike Shula was at Alabama? If I'm not mistaken, Ryan, wasn't spring practice over by the end of February? Did you remember that?
Vaguely. Yeah, I mean, that comes together, but it's a long way. There's a lot of things that have happened between now and then.
Oh yes, oh yeah. Well, I just Ryan, I remember being at the spring game then, and it was cold and it was sleeting on that game. So, but I mean, Chiel wanted to start early and get it over with, and that's what he was able to do. But look, you bring up an interesting question. And I'll be very brief about this, but now, and people need to remember this, we don't have the portal now in the middle of April like we did last year. So what you've got is you've got people who are they can basically just have a regular spring game, and look, the thing is, Colorado and Syracuse actually talked about and ask the NCAA if they can have a regular game for their spring game. The NCAA said no, but what I understand is that no may turn to a yes sometime within the next two or three or four years. And look, I know it's just a spring game, but Ryan, you get this. If you're going to have your fans in, you know, do something special and make it special, and playing another team would be very interesting for the spring.
No, it would be. I think it would be. And you and I have talked about this for years. You could still make the rules, right? If you want to protect your quarterback, put him in a no contact jersey, right?
Yeah,
and I know you don't have the same control over those other players, because if your players hit one of your quarterbacks, you can jump all over them. The other guy hits a quarterback accidentally. I get all that, but you can protect them. And if you want to have certain rules, if you want to have this or this, but it would be a way that you could make some money. We have a caller here that keeps saying, hey, do it and charge $5 and donate all that money to the NIL side of things. Now, some of the operations would have to be in, you know, the net profit might be able to donate.
Sure.
But when you look at there does cost to put on a type of game. But it would create some excitement. But you know, spring football, I tried to make the case for Alabama this past week. When you look at March the 9th, they'll go out on the practice field. They're going to practice, I think, 3 days prior to spring break. And the reason why they do that is Kalen DeBoer can have that last message before they depart for a week of spring break. Don't do anything stupid. Don't do anything foolish. You know, if you get behind the vehicle, don't do it like Georgia. Do it like Alabama, right? I mean, don't do it like Georgia, which is, so we understand you're probably going to drive somewhere. Be careful. And when you take a look at this Alabama football team, this 15 days of practice, every spring is important. But, Brent, this one's is very important. This is another level, because you've got to find some things out about your football team. You got to find out if you're tough enough. Can you get up off of the mat from Indiana putting you there about 45 days ago?
Well, and they need to be able to send some strong messages that they're not going to they may have been put on the mat, but they're not going to stay on the mat. I would agree with that. I think that's going to be extremely important. You've got multiple quarterbacks who are vying for the number one position. Now, look, you're probably not going to be named starter after the spring game, and I understand that, but – at the same time, it gives your running backs a chance, some of the young guys to do what they need to do and to play. So I think for Alabama that this spring game is not a yawner. This spring is important for Alabama to lay a foundation for this season.
Yeah, and we're going to find out, you know, if this Alabama football team can establish, you know, this is a line of scrimmage league, and we could talk about all the fancy quarterbacks, running backs. Mm-hmm. If you can't win the line of scrimmage, chances are you're not going to be able to do some things that you really want to do. And I'm sure Kalen DeBoer may have adjusted that some in 2 years.
But Ryan, you've got so many possibilities on this team that need work. Your kicking team that needs work. Obviously, we know the secondary is going to be good, but what about the front of that defense and to the back of that defense? Can Alabama be able to run the ball? And I think they've got in Crowell one of the better backs that they've had possibly in a while, but that offensive line is going to be retooled. We talked about the quarterbacks. I mean, you and I could go through all the units, and we'll save time and not do that right now. But it's a very important spring, is it not?
It is. And the old traditional quarterback competition, you know, here in Tuscaloosa, that we probably will not see a lot of in the future, because teams are just going to go out and buy the quarterback. If they don't think they have one, go buy it. Go buy it. You still wonder how that impacts the team, though. Because regardless of position, like if you're one of those teams that goes out and buys a player at a certain position, like if you need a left tackle, you go buy a left tackle. What does that do to the underclassmen? Let's just say that you're a freshman and sophomore. Because in the back of your mind, if you're on one of those teams that always goes out and buys one, do you understand that, hey, I may get there, but they may decide to go buy one? That has to be in your mind if you become that. And you kind of like what Kalen DeBoer's been able to do. If he can pull it off, right? He's not been one of those portal guys. Sure, I mean, I guess it would be good if you had $60 million that you come out here and spend. You could go buy yourself a team. But I still think that impacts the team chemistry. How do you juggle that? How do you manage that? Because there's still egos and attitudes involved, and how you manage that can sometimes be the difference between a W and an L.
Well, I think they understand that you've got to progressively build through the high school ranks and signing high school seniors and the importance of that. But I think they also understand how important it is to bring guys in. I mean, look, Alabama's got a pretty good nucleus right now of players who have played. So the important thing is going to be, now obviously they need some starters at different positions, but the important thing right now is going to be how can we bolster this team? How can our second, third string guys help us as we go along? And look, I was Travis Ryer and I do a show together, and we did it last night. And Alabama was a team that we were talking about, and we looked through the schedule. And I know you've already looked through it too. They've got that 4-game stretch in the middle of the season, with Georgia and with Tennessee and so forth.
Texas A&M and LSU.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we worked through that, and we figured out that Bama could be, even in that 4-game stretch, they could be 10-2. Now that would be humongous, would it not? If they're 10-2, that means they're back in the playoffs, ranked high. So that's really truly the great thing about a playoff now is a 10-2 record is not going to cost you a season because it will put you in the playoffs. And if they do that, that's where they will be.
Well, and 10-2, if you offered me 10-2 right now, I'd sign up.
Yeah, absolutely.
10-2 right now. And I think the majority of Alabama fans would sign up for 10-2 right now. If you offer, and I think you could probably sell me on 9-3.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, here's the thing. With 9-3, with playing an extra SEC game,
yes,
that's going to be taken in consideration, because 9-3 may not have been good enough early on. But the reality of it is we're going to 16 sooner than later. I don't think we're going to 24 immediately and as far as teams in the playoffs. But I think next year we're going to 16. And I'm with you. I think 9-3 would get you in. And I think 9-3 may get you in depending on who you beat, who you lose to, even coming up in 2026.
You know, I brought up Tennessee just a second ago and it refreshed my memory. We're still waiting on Joey Aguilar's eligibility.
We are.
Right?
Yes.
And obviously, you know, he made us wait a couple of days here in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Throughout the weekend. I mean, it's so much that Joey Aguilar is going to go to the NFL Combine next week. I mean, kind of sink in. I mean, if that's not a wake-up call that you've got a player that's waiting on eligibility and he's going to go to the NFL Combine next week.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah. And look, you and I both know years ago, Ryan, if you had done that, you would have been automatically ruled ineligible for college, correct?
You would be. Yeah. I mean, that's what I thought Daniel Pruitt, whenever he brought up the Antonio Lincoln from 1992, I thought he's fixing a rule for Charles Bediako. But at the end of the day, he didn't rule one way or the other. He just chose not to get involved.
Exactly.
But it leads us back to this. And this is going to be one of the topics that I wanted to get into. I may have changed my opinion on this, and sometimes in media we do this, and I did not want Washington, D.C. involved with college football.
Yeah, I understand.
But Brent Beard, I think we're desperate enough to ask.
I agree.
I think we're at the point now that it may be one of the very few options that we have to get some control, because we've watched it. The commissioners are not going to do it. The NCAA is probably not going to be able to do it. I mean, they can. I mean, they got legal cases all over. Ross Dellinger just tweeted a couple of seconds ago. There's another lawsuit that just came out. They're defending 57 lawsuits right now from the NCAA. So in all fairness, I don't like the NCAA, but it's hard to defend that many lawsuits. So maybe Washington, D.C. does need to get involved. And this is an election year. Maybe, you know, they feel sorry for us and throw us a bone and we'll give them a few votes.
Well, and if nothing else, if they could give us more structure, I know they're, you know, the powers to be are concerned about getting it too structured like you have with the NFL. But frankly, Ryan, at some point they've got to do something similar, because if you don't do something similar and you have no rules, if Congress got involved within 5 years, this thing may be a lot fairer than it is now. If they don't get involved, where would we be in another 5 years going the other direction?
Yeah, and I did see, you know, where Donald Trump is going to sit down or did sit down with Josh Pate and discuss some of these topics. And I wonder, because, I mean, Donald Trump, like him, hate him, whatever, however you feel, He is a college football fan, and I think even the average college football fan can see what's happening in the current landscape, that this model that we're going down is not sustainable.
It cannot make it
at this point.
No. And I'll say this. I think Trump's done a very good job. The reality of it is, you know, he would like to be involved in setting some kind of standard for college football and be known for the president who was not reticent to get involved with it. I think someone like that, now, would it be perfect? No, but he could at least set it in motion to where college football would be much better off at the end of his term than it is now. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, but one of the things that you must keep an eye on, Washington, D.C. is all about playing games.
Sure.
Right now, there's not a lot of bipartisan bills that are getting pushed through, right? Because Republicans hate the Democrats, Democrats hate the Republicans, and there's nothing getting done in the middle. So it may take some bipartisan to get some of this. And I don't know if they're on the same page, and that may be my only concern of maybe looking for Washington, D.C. to get some. I guess you could possibly do an executive order, but that's only a temporary thing. And you know, you could, you know, the next president could come in and reverse that if he chooses to, just like, you know, people don't give Trump credit for this, but he reversed an executive order from Joe Biden that would have killed women's sports, and people don't want to give him credit for that, but he did that in the first 10, 15 days of his office. He reversed something where there was fixed to be cutting women's sports, and Donald Trump reversed that. Nobody will ever give him credit because that's just what we do in this American political climate. Yeah. Hey, Brent Beard, I appreciate you. Always good to be able to catch up in the world of college athletics. Hope you have a good weekend. Enjoy some basketball. We'll talk to you again next Friday. Brent Beard, Second Helping, First Coast News, Jacksonville, Florida, ABC, NBC News affiliate, and on great radio stations like this one. Brent, I always enjoy the chats, man. Have a great weekend.
Me too, brother. Take care.
Hey, thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, let's go 205-342-9904. We'll take those phone calls right now. We get off a little bit early today, actually a lot early today. 345-345 will get you over to the Joe, Rhode Island, Alabama, taking on Rhode Island, 345. We'll do a free-for-all Friday sponsored by Brian Harden Construction. We'll continue with those phone calls. I want to open up a couple things that's on my mind. Get it off your chest before you can always raise it to the next court. But that takes time. And I guess from a football perspective, you have a little bit more time, obviously a lot more time than a basketball perspective. For Charles Bedianco, it really didn't have much time to get it to the Alabama Supreme Court. I guess in the state of Tennessee, maybe they can appeal it to another court. And if I remember, this was a smaller court as well. So it was kind of, I can't remember the word they were using, but it was a smaller court there that in that state, they do things a little bit different. I know Josh from College Football Nerds was kind of explaining to us. So let's go back to this, what we were talking about a couple of seconds ago. Brent Beard said he went through the schedule and he said you could find a way to get Alabama to 10-2. I don't know about you, but I would take 10-2 right now. I would sign up for that today, not tomorrow, like right now. Give me the contract. I don't have to be tampered with. I don't have to listen to other schools. You give me 10-2 right now, I would sign the dotted line. I'd say yes, absolutely. 10-2, I'm not sure if you look right now and you offered me, because there's so much unknowns about Alabama Crimson Tide football for the upcoming year. I'm not sure if you offered me 9-3 that I might not sign that contract today, because I do feel like that this is a year. And if you don't believe me, just flip over to the TV next week. You go see 12 players. Alabama's got the second most behind Texas A&M and the players that will represent from the SEC. No, I think it's from overall. They have 12 players that are at the NFL Combine. So that will be one of the things that we cover next week. And I don't know if Ty's going to do a lot. I know the quarterbacks always bring a lot of attention, but we'll see some of the times up there. No, Pro Day will be happening here in Tuscaloosa. We'll get more details on that as practice starts, and we'll get some things underway. We'll do it right here on The Game. We'll take your phone calls. Bryce in San Antonio, get it on your mind. We're coming to you next.
We're in the right Eisenhower vaccine. England's got a new queen. Marciano Liberace,
one with 10-2, would you take it? Would you take 9-3? And going back to Donald Trump and sitting down with Josh Pate, that interview I'm sure will air on his Sunday, unless there's a special that he's going to put out on his own. But when do you like Washington, D.C.? Are you willing to allow, because sometimes you're desperate, but I also don't want to be sold fool's gold by Washington, D.C., because generally when they come rescue you, they really don't rescue you, right? They tell you that they're going to rescue you. Hey, guys, we're going to solve all of your problems. No. We don't need a DMV-style, Department of Motor Vehicles-style college football. No. We've waited in those lines before. No. Please. We don't need that, because generally when you guys come knocking, you're looking for dollars, right? Somehow, some way, a new way to spend our money. Isn't that what you're kind of looking for? But, I mean, we're also desperate in the world of college athletics, because we have leaders that don't want to lead. We have college football commissioners that don't want to be commissioners. They just want to sit around reading books. Greg Sankey, that was for you. Bryce, San Antonio. Bryce, good afternoon. You're in the game.
Good afternoon, Ryan.
How are you?
Annoyed, depressed. I mean, I got a lot. I'll probably start a rant here.
You're
but
fine.
It's just,
you're fine. Hey, it's free-for-all Friday. We want you to get it off your chest before you get to the weekend. Let it rip.
We're in February. We're getting closer to spring football. I'm still thinking about Indiana. I heard you say earlier in the week, you know, you were like, these, I've never seen Alabama fans like this from a game before that Indiana took our manhood. Ryan, are you not severely affected by that? I mean, Ryan, we literally, I have a serious problem when Alabama gets made the laughingstock of the nation, maybe even the world. We got people in Bangladesh that are constantly laughing at us too. So I'm just, that, and I put that on the coaching staff and the players. I don't put it on anyone else. And so I'm so mad still at the fact that in our last three games, we didn't get beat. We were a laughing stock in two of them. I'm not okay with that. And I'll never be okay with
Georgia. But okay, but let's go back to the Georgia. The Georgia one doesn't bother me as bad as the Indiana loss. Because Georgia, you in your mind, you know, and I said this
still
yesterday.
Still embarrassing.
Jeff Allen,
I agree. Still embarrassing.
Should be the MVP because he's the trainer, right, of getting some of those guys ready. But, I mean, they were limping into that game, 28-7. To me, it's more reflection of what college football's become. And you heard Kirby kind of defend both teams after the game. But the Indiana, it's the way they did it, right? I mean, they
– yeah.
They took
and,
it from
and Ryan,
was,
Ryan.
And it was the quit. And I believe if we would have opened up the portal at halftime, I believe we'd have players that would have got in. I believe if Kalen would have walked in and said, who wants to go in the portal? I think there would have been a few players that would have signed up because they were already out. They were already moving. Mm-hmm. They were already on the way out.
Well, if Longhorns and Aggies were talking smack to Alabama fans, I think that's a good excuse for the Georgia game. But when it's just Alabama and it's all of us talking, it's still unacceptable. Yeah, it just is what it is. 28-7 in the way we lost. Not acceptable. The other thing, we got, and here's part of the reason why it happened, Ryan. Do we only care about five-star skilled players? Because all we ever talk about and we've been needing for 4 years is studs on the D-line and O-line. When are we going to go all in on a five-star D-lineman? And maybe we load up the D-line with five stars, try that for a change, and do some of the skilled positions with three stars, like Indiana did. You got guys from Indiana no one's ever heard of who make Ryan Williams look like a seventh grade volleyball player. I don't think we have to go with the five-star prima donna skilled positions anymore. Ryan Williams is a perfect example of why prima donnas may not work out for you. You want to be the hard-nosed team? Start looking at mentality of players and not just the stars. Go look at Jimbo Fisher's A&M teams where they had every known to mankind. It was every star in the world. They were loaded with talent. The team sucked because the players didn't have the right mentality. There's more to it than just getting the five stars. So I'm frustrated with that. And then just in general, look what they've done to the sport, Ryan. When you tune into the show now, 70% of the time we're talking legal courtroom jargon. Yes. And we're talking NIL finances. It's so broken. It's so broken. And none of that is as interesting to follow anymore.
But are we desperate enough to lead on the politicians in Washington, D.C.? I don't like to. And I've often said I don't want Washington, D.C. involved with my college football. But I've also never thought that I'd be at this point here. Because this is not Ryan's rant. This is not fake. This is real. I can see the 100%. Fabric of college athletics drifting away, and I don't like it.
100%.
And I'm sure like many it. Other people the same way.
Well, and what sport also? I feel like college football is the only sport where in a five-year period, every time you wake up, they've changed a little bit of it to where now you don't even recognize the sport you were watching 4 years ago. And that's such a disservice to the – I can't even explain what a disservice it is because I don't know if you felt it, but doesn't it feel like everything Alabama did up until kind of NIL started has been totally washed away and people are like, yeah, that was cool what y'all did for a while. It doesn't matter anymore. I have such a problem with that to where Alabama rises to the top of the sport on tradition, on all these things that we built the university and the sport around. And before you know it, all that gets yanked out from under us, and now we're just in this pay-for-play period. And so that, once again, just makes it feel like we're not even connected to the history we have at Alabama. Because just like you try to tell Joseph all the time, Joseph, what Saban was doing 3-4 years ago, that's not even relevant anymore. We can't even copy that. So in a way, it just makes it feel like, yeah, that was great what we did, but it doesn't matter because the sport's totally different now. So I have a massive problem with that, too, because, you know, it just, like they say, like you have Joel Klatt out there.
And do you know who else is going to have a massive problem with the direction of college football? And it will get there sooner rather than later, because these brands that are built on, you know, the blue bloods, the tradition, I mean, the TV ratings, if you look back at TV ratings in our market, look at the southern region, okay? The southern region is where the TV markets dominate, okay? I promise you. Now this is, I don't know enough about, I know enough about ratings to say that most of the time, they can be, well, TV is a little bit more because you have streaming. You can justify those numbers, but this arbitrary number that we throw up that, you know, that so many people watch or so many people listen, it's very arbitrary, right? Many years we called it Arbitron ratings, okay? But that was the name of the actual company that put them out. And so they were arbitrary. But when you look at the TV ratings, let's say we have a Texas Tech Indiana. That novelty now is gone. You need college football to be able to drive the numbers. And I'm just not convinced that Indiana and Texas Tech is going to bring those ratings. So at some point, the TV executives begin to scream a little bit. Because I think people will start. It was big this year. National championship game, the ratings were huge because it was a novelty, right? Look, wow, look at these dudes. This team from Bloomington, Indiana just won a national championship. I don't know when you get past this year, will that be a common theme? Will people tune in to watch Indiana play Texas Tech in the national championship game? I think that answer is
no. No, they won't. And other people see it too. I have a buddy that grew up in Texas as a diehard LSU fan, but would have to pay out-of-state tuition at LSU, so he went to Texas Tech instead. And he's super happy about what's going on at Tech, but he also sees the problems because he knows LSU won't be able to really compete either. So... it's annoying, but I'll just end my rant with
I want to ask you 9-3.
Okay, what's that?
Would you sign up for 9-3 right now?
Yes, but here's another question, and it's part of my depression and why I'm annoyed. Do you think going into year 3 under DeBoer, we're closer to a 12-0 team or an 8-4 team?
Ooh. Ooh, that's a loaded question.
And you don't got an answer today. We can think about it, and everyone listening can think about it. But it's hard for me to make excuses going into.
But let me also say this, and this is where I go back, and I'm not trying to
come
take
on, Ryan.
DeBoer. Okay, but
I love DeBoer.
Hold on. Okay, but remove the name, Kalen DeBoer. I think you could put anybody in this role. And I just think it's the change of college football. I mean, okay, right now, tell me.
Okay, Cignetti in the role, yeah. We're doing great, probably.
Yeah, but see, I'm not convinced there. I'm not convinced. Like, I need to see more of it. There's just something there. That
I wasn't convinced
smug
until
attitude.
I wasn't convinced until we put our head between our legs. Alabama, okay? Not Georgia. Alabama, 38-3. Couldn't even, we weren't even on the same field as them. Okay. I wasn't convinced either, but I'm telling you, I don't understand that. I don't know if they're cheating and it'll come out in a 30-30 in 15 years. But as of right now, DeBoer and anyone who gets on the field with Indiana is getting dog walked. And to me, when that's your profession and you're at the level of Alabama, there's no excuse for that.
I hear you. And it doesn't make sense that a bunch of dudes that look, I mean, in some ways unathletic, just run through
100%.
College football like water. And they don't even use the practice time that they're allotted. Think about that. Let that sink in for just a second. They don't even use the practice time they're allotted.
Ryan, I'm telling you, it's something that makes me more mad than anything.
Somebody in their 60s just discovered how to coach college football.
Oh, Ryan, I look at Sark, I look at Ryan Day, I look at DeBoer, I look at Kirby, all of them. Ryan, all of them look like fools with what Indiana are doing. And it makes me so mad because I just don't understand how all these guys that get paid this much and they're always working so much. That's all we ever hear. There's no excuse for that scheme and what's going on at Indiana. So I'll drop off. Yeah. Love you guys.
Thanks, man. Thank you. We'll continue with more phone calls. We'll do those coming up in just a couple of minutes. It is a free-for-all Friday sponsored by Brian Harden Construction. Meet the best-tasting water you're ever going to drink. Oh, hold on. Let me get a little sip of that. I had it right here. That good Blue Spring Living Water. The spring is stunningly clear. You're going to sit on a platform and look down 40 feet down, and you're going to see the bottom of the spring. No gimmicks, just nature showing off. Why it stands apart, it's bottled at the source, one of the very few in North America. Never processed, altered, messed with, naturally mineral rich, perfect 7.2 pH balance, the hydration that feels different. It's Blue Spring Living Water. You could also have Numa, which is the oxygenated water, highly oxygenated water. If you take a look at it, read some more about it. It's bluespringlivingwater.com, bluespringlivingwater.com. You can have your water delivered to you via Waterway of Birmingham. You could also buy it at shopping places like Piggly Wiggly, Publix, Mark's Mark, downtown Northport, under the Roll Tide Bridge, Vestavia Hills off of Acton Road, and then also our good friends down in Soma, Alabama since 1978. And you can also buy it in the lower part of the state and the neighboring states as well, Rouse's Supermarket. And also independent grocery stores, look for it there, bluespringlivingwater.com. You can also have it via delivered to you, not just via the waterway. Lake Tuscaloosa, if you're thinking about dinner this evening, they're serving it up, all the great specials that you're looking for. Also tomorrow, they'll be doing lunch and dinner. So if you're out on a Saturday afternoon, maybe you're going to enjoy some of these a little bit warmer seasonal weather. If about Sunday at brunch until 3 o'clock, if you're looking for the king cake bread pudding celebrating Mardi Gras. Can you go wrong with a king cake? I don't think you can. When you look at Southern Ale House, 1530 McFarland Boulevard, the OG location, if you're thinking about that, that is Monday through Saturday lunch and dinner options. Monday through Saturday lunch and dinner options at Southern Ale House. Eat Southern, be Southern. Brett Garner, the executive chef there, cooking up some amazing stuff. Dockside on beautiful Lake Tuscaloosa. And remember, they're always closed on Monday, dinner only, Tuesday and Wednesday, lunch and dinner, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, then Sunday brunch until 3. We're going to go back to phone calls coming up in just a couple of minutes. I don't want to box in Josh. Coming up to the top of the hour, we'll also get to Marty in Arkansas. We'll take your phone calls if you want to jump in, 205-342-9904. So we go back to what Bryce asked me a couple of minutes ago. Are we closer to 12-0 or 8-4? See, that's the part that I think we must go back and look at, okay? Because this year is going to be a little, it's going to be that year. Because you can go back, take a look at, I mean, why don't we go back to 2025 recruiting class? Just allow me to go back for just a couple of minutes. You got Keelon Russell, the hotshot quarterback from Duncanville, Texas. You got Michael Carroll. Okay, think about this. Okay, we're gonna go through players that Kalen DeBoer brought in, and you're gonna see this big group play a very, because if they're not an important role, then no, Alabama won't be able to get to 9-3. But you start looking at guys that have made an impact. You start looking at that young group of talent. They're a year older. Then you supplemented it this year. You went to the portal, got a few supplemental needs, right? You fulfilled a couple of those needs. I still think, but the 12-0, I don't think you're going to see a team in this league do it to the level. And I know you said, well, Georgia almost did it. Well, almost didn't do it. Well, Indiana did it. It's a different league. I still think top to bottom, this is the premier league. I mean, I'm talking about 1 through 16. I think I still think, and I think that's why you're seeing some of the teams that are in the gutter. It's hard to get out of the gutter. All right, we'll come back. Josh in Georgia, maybe you could fire things up on a free-for-all Friday sponsored by Brian Hart and Construction. We'll depend on you next. Started on the campus of the University of Alabama earlier this week. Alabama trying to work back to get off the mat. Now, listen, I go back to the Indiana, right? It was a 38-3 whipping. We all took it. We didn't enjoy it. We didn't like it. We hated it. How do we respond? How does Alabama respond? You know, you look back at Kalen DeBoer. How did he adjust? How will he adjust? Will there be an adjustment? Will he look at something and say, guys, we're going to do it this way. We're not going to do it this way. What did he learn from his first 2 years in the Southeastern Conference? This is a line of scrimmage game. You must win the line of scrimmage. Bryce talked about it a couple seconds ago. You got to win the line of scrimmage. Hey, we are always powered by Tuscaloosa Toyota. TuscaloosaToyota.com, 3325 Skyland Boulevard, and online at TuscaloosaToyota.com. 3325 Skyland Boulevard, and online at TuscaloosaToyota.com. It gets great interest specials on both the Camry and the Corolla, the Tacoma and the Tundra. Two-wheel drive, four-wheel drive options. It is Tuscaloosa Toyota. It is TuscaloosaToyota.com. We're doing a free-for-all Friday sponsored by Brian Hart and Construction. Let's go right back to phone calls. Josh, Georgia. Josh, good afternoon. You're in the game. I hope all is well, man.
Good afternoon, Ryan. Everything's wonderful. It has been a little bit. 3 weeks too long, something like that. So,
has it been 3 weeks?
Yeah, because I called in. We was waiting.
I mean, Indiana, not just, I mean, they took our manhood, but they took Josh's energy. Josh, I thought you would be one of the last guys that Indiana would take.
Oh, Indiana didn't take me. I'll charge Bloomington right now. So, Indiana didn't touch.
So you haven't been in the fetal position for the last 3 weeks?
No, I have been running around in the busyness of life, work, relationship, all of that stuff. So everything there. So
you know, I'm looking at a new advertisers for the upcoming spring. I'm thinking wedding planner would be a popular commercial spot. I mean, we already have one guy getting hitched. With Bubba. I mean, there could be others. I mean, maybe wedding planner needs to come on board here.
Right. I'm still a ways off from that myself, but things are going well. I can say that. So,
okay.
Things are going well. I'm actually going to spend tomorrow down there in East Alabama and spend Sunday at church with her. So.
Okay.
Okay. But everything's well.
Gotcha. Okay.
Just been busy.
Good. I'm happy for you. Happy for you.
Yeah. Real quick, the last time we had talked, I think it was the Thursday before the Charles Bediako decision. So we all know how that come out. But I have watched this. Let me just say this for a second. I have sat here and I've watched this basketball team fight tough wins since not being able to play with Mr. Bediako. And we put together a couple of tough wins. We took down Texas A&M. We took down Arkansas. And there's been some good wins on that thing. But, of course, baseball started up. I know Robert's the one who kind of got me into following baseball a few years back. And so hope to pull out another win with those guys today. And but I'm sitting here right now. I actually had the day off. So I'm sitting here doing some housework around the house and touching up some work boots. And self-doing those, but I was like, I need to call in and talk from Alabama because, hey, trust me, I do miss it. And
all right, here we go.
Whenever
here we go. 9-3, 10-2. Mm-hmm. You know, Bryce brought this question. Kind of, he changed it a little bit different. He asked me if Kalen DeBoer was closer to 12-0 or 8-4. But I've eliminated undefeated seasons in my head.
Oh, 100%.
I'd love to see them. It's just going to be tough. But 100%. When you look at 9-3, if I offered you 10-2, would you take it? And would you even be willing to negotiate at 9-3?
I'd take 10-2 100% because of the current state of college football and the toughness of the SEC. Because we have talked about it ad nauseum, and I'll talk about it again. The Big Ten is currently sitting back laughing at us, not just because of what happened back on New Year's Day. We all hated it. But the fact that they got us to go to 9 conference games a 10th conference game, counting the two that make your conference championship. We all know the comments that Kirby Smart made, and he sounded a lot like his former teacher, mentor, and Coach Saban on the things of how tough this league already is. But when you add another conference game plus your conference championship, it is insane in the SEC. And I will agree with you because, you know, I mean, no, we may not pull for the SEC whenever we're not playing or nothing, but the SEC don't pull for us when we're playing, by golly. And but we are, from 1 to 16, probably the best conference in the country, and it's probably due to regional bias, I will say that. But I think the Big Ten sitting back laughing at us, and I would take 9-2 in a heartbeat. And as energetic and as passionate as I am, you probably would be surprised if you was to tell me, hey, would you take 9-3 and you do get in the playoffs and you got a pretty favorable matchup in the first round of the playoffs? Yeah, I'd probably take 9-3 with a 9-game conference schedule and not making the SEC championship. Or 9-3 and that third loss being the loss in the SEC championship. Yeah, I would take 9-3. But I'm sitting here and I'm looking, and you know this as well as I do. You're in touch a lot more with things than I am. Although we talked about how year two is the year that DeBoer's system is supposed to take off, I really feel like for him in Tuscaloosa, it's year three. And why do you want to know that? Why do you say it's year three, Josh? Well, I'm glad you asked. Year three is going to be more his style quarterback. It's going to be his line, his receivers. I mean, sure, he's got one or two that, I mean, he was able to re-recruit and get them to stay. That wasn't his original recruits. I mean, we know Ryan hit the sophomore slump, as we've called it, so hopefully he can find that freshman fire. I mean, yeah, really that freshman fire in his junior year and have, you know, just a terrific junior year along with these other guys, because I'm hearing things about Sadarian Morgan as a freshman. I don't think we're going to be able to keep him off the field, honestly. But I think with his players in year number three, they've got, what, like 16 offensive linemen? I think last I checked, it may be. They may have picked up one or two more.
It seems to be the number. Yeah,
about 16 offensive linemen. Now it's finding the right rotation.
I mean, there may be one or two, but I mean, I think that was the track.
Right. Now it's finding the right five and right rotation that you like, that you want to roll out, not only in spring practice, because you're going to work out everybody in spring practice, but whenever you get to where we're going to be when we play Eastern Carolina. And you got those five, and you can play a lot of guys in that Eastern Carolina game. And I think I would be safe to say, and I'm not looking ahead here, overlooking Eastern Carolina for week one, but I'm just saying week two, you open up SEC play with Kentucky. We know they're more of a basketball school, and I think you could still play several guys against Kentucky. But then by Florida State, I think you're going to know who your first five offensive linemen are. I think you could still have a lot of rotational pieces in the defense. And I will say this. I cannot remember if I called in or made any comment with the firing of the offensive line coach. I know I was one of them that was screaming for it. I mean, you hate to see anybody fired from their job. But, I mean, as good of a person as I try to be on my job, I have told my boss, hey, if I'm not doing my job right or efficiently enough or whatever, say something to me. And if I don't heed that, you know, then you do the write-up process, then eventually that leads to termination. Clearly, Coach Cap wasn't doing enough in development or something of the offensive line process.
Well, I mean, he simply said it was a production problem, right? He said it was a production problem.
Yeah. So that ultimately got him canned. I mean, I wish him well, wish him, you know, the best. But I will say, as me watching Alabama football for almost the last 20 years, that was the worst 2 years I have ever seen in an offensive line wearing crimson and white was last year and this year. And really 2023 wasn't a great offensive line.
But also we must be fair to those players. Okay. And,
right.
and I know that, you know, but you really didn't settle on five guys. And I still think that impacted.
I'm not just throwing the guy under the bus, but I will say, yeah, no, we did not decide on a primary five, a five that gelled. You had glimpses of it, but nobody was all the way healthy throughout the whole year. There was no true 1-5 that started the whole game, the whole year, all the way through. So that's why I think with the change there,
Because the more I have read about Coach Clem, let me tell you
Yeah, and I'm just, the more I like need to move on real quick. So
You're
but,
good.
But I'll let you have a final thought.
The more I like the guy. So the more I like the guy because he's a Super Bowl champion. He's a big nasty. He knows what it takes to play the position. Go read him. I know you have, but to people listening, go read about him. Go see where he played. Go see where he won Super Bowls at. Go see who he protected in his early years. That's all I'm going
to
say.
And also, I like the Richard Owens hire, too. I think that's a good one. And I think we often forget. I mean, I know Jamarcus Shepherd goes to Oregon State, but I like the Derek Nix hire, too. I mean, he's been around for quite a while. The only offseason move that I still have questions, and I have to go back and say, why did the special teams coach make it? Because Alabama was bad. Did they think it was just personnel? And if it was, then that's why they said, okay, hey, it wasn't coaching, it was personnel. I mean, you were dead last in punting in the SEC. You were second last in field goals. It's been a little bit since Alabama's made some special teams plays. And I think there's that was a weakness for us. I mean, really, the only thing that I can look at and say special teams, that Cole Adams caught the punt returns. I got to go, Josh. I appreciate you, man, as always. Thank you.
Roll Tide.
Right. Hey, thank you. Let's go to Marty in Arkansas. Marty, good afternoon. You're in the game on a free-for-all Friday sponsored by Brian Hard Construction.
Good afternoon. I think it was just personnel. Because the punter was supposed to punt. Didn't he get hurt?
He did. He had a torn ACL.
And then the other, I don't know. But I'm like the guy. We can have five-star receivers run their routes, but if we don't have an offensive line that give the quarterback enough time, I don't care if you put Blendenkopf out there. He ain't going to get the ball to him. Or if he will, it might be high or lower. Wade has to make an unbelievable catch. It's the offensive line that you got to have. And that's the number one thing that we got to fix, or we ain't going to be no Alabama football. And go back and look at Kennedy or whatever that coach is called. I saw his team play twice with James Madison in the Sun Belt. And that team was sound, efficient, didn't turn the ball over, didn't commit penalties, and always got close on third downs and that, and kept the chains moving. He did a heck of a job. And then he brought 30 players with him that knew how to play football. They knew how to play basic football, and they weren't 3 and 4. Look at the NFL. The best drafts are the ones in the third, fourth round that you know who you get. Anybody in the first round, just like that. You don't need a number one draft pick quarterback to win a Super Bowl. Oh, let's go get a number one draft. Yeah, put them out there right now. Put them out there right now on a bad team that don't have an offensive line. You're going to knock them around like they did Don, the Super Bowl quarterback of Seattle for a little while until he gets his head straight and gets with a good coach that can coach him up again, and then he'll become a quarterback again. No, you don't need a number one. You don't need a bunch of – you need 3 and 4 star – 3 and the third and fourth people on the team that go out there with their pail buckets, play hard, practice hard, and wear that strip A.
Well, Indiana showed you that could be done, right? You don't need all 5 stars to be able to do it. You need a team chemistry.
No, but you need a hard pedal. So does the NFL, that teams that put people around a quarterback that's pretty good and go from there. And we need a bunch of hard, what does Nato's have to – the hard metal award after every game or whatever they call
hard hat. That. Yeah, the hard hat award.
We need some hard hat linemen out there or whatever, the linemen that wear the hard hat. We need a bunch of them out there this year and find them, and then we'll be back at Alabama football. And another thing, don't say, oh, we lost our manhood. What happened in 1971? We were undefeated. USC beat Alabama really bad, really bad. Oh, Bear was so mad. Everybody. How did Alabama go in that game and get slaughtered? Look what happened afterwards. He circled the wagon and went on and had a 10-year run. That's all DeBoer's got to do. He's already looked at his – went in there in the in the office, looked at the offensive coordinators. You ain't doing your job. You ain't doing your job. And you ain't doing your job. Get your papers on the way out because I need to get some people that know what they're doing. And that's gotcha. What he's doing.
All right.
And thanks, that's
Marty.
My rant.
I appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you. It is a free-for-all yeah. Friday. Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate the opportunity to visit. Let's look at a couple different things, and we'll dive into this coming up in just a couple of seconds. We'll do that. Johnny and Coleman, get it on your mind. Life is tough, and when you're dragging low energy, no focus, just not feeling right, that's where my friends at Game Day Men's Health in Tuscaloosa come in. They specialize in testosterone replacement therapy, helping men get back to feeling themselves again with more strength, focus, and the drive to crush it, whether it's game day or every day. Here's how it works. You're going to fill out a quick intake. You're going to do simple blood work. You're going to get your results back in 15 minutes or less. Then what happens? You meet with the clinical director. Her name is Casey, an expert in men's health and hormone therapy, and you begin your personalized treatment plan to get your edge back. Here's the best part. Everything I just talked about, your first appointment is absolutely free. There's no waiting. There's no hassle. Get back on track. 1013 Streets East in Tuscaloosa, or go online, gamedaymenshealth.com. Gamedaymenshealth.com, helping men feel strong, sharp, and ready to win again. Game Day Men's Health, 1013 Street East in Tuscaloosa. We'll come back. More phone calls. Remember, we got to get out of here a few minutes early. Actually, 2 hours early. Give North River Timber Company a call. Call Courtney White and his team of over 20 years experience in West Alabama and East Mississippi. Offer timber harvesting, timber appraisals, comprehensive management plans. As a registered forester in Alabama, Courtney and his team can help you decide how to maximize your highest potential for your land. Courtney says timber is like money in the bank. See what your investment can do for you. You call Courtney White today, 205-242-5127, 205-242-5127. North River Timber Company. If you see Courtney White, wish him a happy anniversary. Today is his anniversary, 27 years. Happy anniversary to him and his bride. And thank you, Courtney, for being a part of our show, North River Timber Company. Let's go to Johnny in Coleman, Alabama. Johnny, good afternoon. You're in the game. Johnny Coleman, Alabama. Johnny, good afternoon. You're in the game.
I'm here, man. Hey,
how are you, Johnny?
Well, I guess my phone's stupid. I don't know. That's that Coleman County redneck stuff, right?
Hold on. I thought you had a smartphone.
Oh, well, I do, but I'm inside the shop, and I guess I had to walk outside.
Okay.
I got to get out here with the chickens, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, now I want to ask you here, okay? Because
Ryan. Are you telling me you didn't hear my opening? Do I need to repeat that?
No, we absolutely need to repeat that. We didn't hear anything. All we said was, "Hey, I'm here. I'm here." So that's all we heard.
I know. Johnny in the house. Now go, Ryan.
Johnny is in the house.
We can't do nothing unless I'm in the house.
You know, you and I know a little bit about the big nasties, the big uglies up front, because we kind of fit in that category, even though we don't have the ability to play in the trenches.
We're talking
offensive line. That should be right up your alley.
Yep. You should play center, Ryan. Guard. I was called the Lightning. You better protect your kneecap. Lightning. Because that's coming for your kneecaps. If you cared about your kneecaps, you better double wrap them. Because everybody's bigger than me, Ryan.
So you were a kneecap hunter, huh? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Anything else got in the way, too. I mean, I'm just going to throw that out there. You got to be mean, Ryan, when you're short and little, man.
Are you saying you were a dirty player?
Well, probably. Yeah, I'm mad enough to admit it. Yeah. I mean, it still cost me 5 back surgeries, 2 neck, but whatever. So, I'd do it again, though. Yes, right. I would.
Alabama Crimson Tide football.
Oh, yeah. Here we go with Bob.
10-2, 9-3. Would you take it right now? If I offered you 10-2 or 9-3, and it came up 10 and Brent Beard brought it up 10-2. I said I'd sign up for 9-3 right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I would do 9-3 with the level and the even playing field that, you know, our great NCAA. Bright idea, NIL, transfer rule, all this bull crap garbage that Saban tried to tell them at some point down the road ain't, Ryan, let me repeat, ain't going to work. Ain't going to work. Going to tire college football down. Right or wrong?
Well, I think we're on a fast track. It's so we're so desperate that we're looking to Washington, D.C. to fix our problems.
You know, a lot of people, Ryan, let's just go down that rabbit hole. Okay?
Oh, Lord, on a free-for-all Friday. Now, remember, now, 15
minutes.
Yeah,
we're going. I'm bringing Johnny, okay? Just hang on to you. Let's, pal, let's go. All right, so most everybody knows, taught here for many years. A lot of people know I'm on disability, Social Security. Life's rough sometimes and puts you down that road, right? Well, you know, we get this little cost of living deal, right, every year. Well, let me tell you what I got the other day, right? A 2.8, I don't know what you call it, a joke.
Just a cost of living raise.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just a little. You know, we love you. And they're so full of crap. They're up there making millions of dollars, and I get a $56 raise and busted my tail just like your other callers talking to his boss and he ain't doing the job, you know, adequately. I can't pronounce like he did, but anyway. I was one of them guys. I either done my job or I stayed at home, Ryan. I'm still that way to this day. And this is the kind of gratitude. But no, hey, let's throw the government in here and tell them how they can wear their helmet and what size shoulder pads and see if they need a jock strap or not or whatever. We don't need these idiots telling us nothing. We just need the ones that's in charge of this deal to get off their cockpit and butt, quit smoking cigars and drinking martinis. That's what we need to do, well, Ryan.
Well, and the problem is we're so desperate right now that we're having to look there, and I got to get to this break right here in about a minute.
Yeah, I know.
But we've got to go to Washington, D.C., and I don't know if we're going to get the help, but we're desperate, and maybe they'll bail us out.
You're right. They're the ones that are going to get help. It ain't going to be us, right? They're going to make sure they get their pockets full.
Right. Well, and that's what, you know, that's what they're looking for. Hey, Johnny, I got to get to break,
right,
man.
I'm
limited here.
Always remember this. If you don't put a battery in a cordless drill, the son of a gun is not going to work, right? Roll Tide.
Working Western Wear for the entire family since 1976. They're open until 6 p.m. If you're looking for a new pair of boots, Justin, Tony Lama, Red Wing, Georgia, Double H, Timberline, Laredo, and many more. It is the Wharf, the Working Western Wear. We celebrate 50 years this year at the Wharf. You go by Watermelon Road, El Gran Patron on the right-hand side of the road. You find the next shopping center. If you go by the blue plate, you've went too far. It is our good friends at the Wharf. Let's go to Robert in Mobile. Robert, good afternoon. You're in the game.
What's up, man?
How are you, Robert? It's been a few days. I hope all is well in your world, man.
Pretty good. Just listening to the questions you got asked today, and you were asking, and one of your callers asked today. Which one did you start with? We accept what? Was it 10-2?
Yeah, Brent Beard asked us about 10-2. Would we take 10-2? And I'd take it right now. But I believe you could convince me to take 9-3.
Under the right circumstances, of course. No question about it. And now your other caller was saying, asked the question, well, are we closer to 12-0 or 8-4? That was his question.
That was his question. Bryce in San Antonio.
Well, like you said, every team in the SEC is closer to 8-4 than 12-0. Okay, what's more likely in the SEC? Well, okay, 8-4 is more likely than 12-4. I mean, than 12-0. So I guess by default, we're closer that way. It's going to be really almost impossible to go undefeated in the SEC. Not impossible, but really, really hard. And so most, if everybody's in that category, Georgia's in that category too. They're liable, more likely to go 8-4 than 12-0 because of how tough the SEC is right now. So, yeah, not saying we'll go 8-4, but I'm not sure to think the premise behind this question is, do we think DeBoer is moving the team on? At least that's what I think his premise was. You know, is the team improving? Yeah, we all believe the team improved. Well, you know, because year one was...
I mean, they accomplished a lot of things in year number two.
Yeah.
I mean, they made the playoffs. They got the, you know, the road losses off their back. Yeah, there were some things that were some hiccups, sure. I don't think anybody should deny that.
And, of course, the last two games is what's really sticking in our craw again, because that's kind of a repeat of year one, down the stretch with a team playing play down the stretch, fell off a cliff and wasn't able to get back right again. And so that needs to be improved next season. Again, not just you have to win a championship, but it doesn't need to be that we don't even look like we belong on the same field. It's the best teams in college football. Hey, we should be looking like we at least belong on the field with you, even if we don't beat you. But it shouldn't be, hey, you don't even like you. You should even be out here. You know how we made Notre Dame look back in 2012?
Sure.
Yeah, that's how we made them look. And that was legit. You really didn't belong on the field with Nick Saban. It was several years before you did belong on there. But yeah, the gap shouldn't be that wide. And I'm with you, though. I want to see Indiana do this 2 years in a row. I think they caught lightning in a bottle. I think it was just like it's the same way Ojuwon caught lightning in a bottle. And so, okay, we'll see you do it if you do it again. So we'll –
They gave him a new contract. And, Robert, I got to go to this. I'm out of time right here to end. But they gave him a $13.2 million contract, a new contract today. That's a lot of cash. I know it's a national championship. He gave you something you've never had. You know, it's no doubt, man. It is a major topic. If this program can sustain it, if not, that $13.2 million payday could come back to bite him there in Bloomington. Hey, thanks, Robert. I appreciate you, man. Hey, sorry I'm out of time right here at the end. Let's go to Mary in Atlanta. Mary, I'll try to split the time between you and Ellis. Mary, 2 minutes. Let it rip. Go. Hey, Mary. All right. No Mary. Mary, Atlanta. No Mary. How about Ellis, Manchester, Tennessee? Ellis, good afternoon. You're in the game.
Oh, RTR, Ryan Feller.
RTR. The last
I will take
the
9-3
Friday.
I will take 9-3.
I don't think you'd have to twist my arm to get me to 9-3. Mm-hmm. I think I would take it pretty well.
That's a drop from last year, but you know, but yeah, 9-3. I'll take it. Well, Tennessee's going to be using a new quarterback this season.
Yeah, it's Joey Aguilar, what Ellis is talking about. And NCAA just released a statement a couple of seconds ago, and it says the NCAA is thankful for the judge's decision today, which demonstrates the court's consideration of eligibility standards and protecting access to student to college, collegiate experience for current and future student athletes. We will continue to defend the NCAA's eligibility rules against attempts to circumvent foundational policies and hinder fair competition to all student athletes. The NCAA is making changes to deliver more benefits this year to athletes and will continue to work with Congress to provide stability for all college athletes, end quote. That's the NCAA. So they're even looking at Washington, D.C.
You think NCAA is trying to grow a pair now?
They're trying to show that they're still in charge.
Well, it's done. Yeah, I reckon.
But I mean, you know, we're going to ask Washington, D.C. to get involved. That's that, no doubt.
Well, I'm like, I didn't want it to, but, you know, it looks like that's what it's going to take.
Well, it may be the only option. It may be the only option. It may just show you how desperate we really are to ask Washington, D.C. to get more involved with collegiate sports. And I don't want it, but it looks like that's where we're headed. Ellis, I got to get out of here, man. I'm out of time. I appreciate you as always.
And we all know why Ryan Williams didn't play good last year, because the evil woman.
Well, how do you know she's evil?
Yeah, well, any of the evil, right?
Any of them. All of them.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. All right, we got to get out of here. Thanks, Ellis. I appreciate you.
Roll Tide, Brian Fowler.
Hey, fire up the grill this weekend with that certified Angus beef USDA choice grinds only at Tuscaloosa's locally owned and operated supermarket. Piggly Wiggly, from the fresh ground beef to the ground chuck to the juicy certified Angus beef hamburger patties. You're going to taste the difference in every bite. Don't forget about the rest of the grill. Line up fresh, never frozen chicken, quality pork cut fresh daily. And at Piggly Wiggly, we do it every day, 7 days a week. 5 locations to serve you. It is our friends, fresh food, fair prices, down home, down the street, Piggly Wiggly. I remind you that we call this program The Game, and the only way that you can win the big game, the game of life, is to walk daily with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Good night. Good afternoon. Alabama baseball takes over in about 30 seconds as we'll get you over to the Joe for Rhode Island. Have a great weekend. Roll